Hour number two of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. It's official. Matt and I just had our first fight. I want somebody back there who can return and do something. I don't want somebody to just catch the ball. That's
he
all I'm saying.
He can do something. He'll catch the ball every time and get you 8 yards.
Yeah, I don't want that. I want that's not even the top 20 in the league. Now that we've gone through and we've looked this up, not even top 20 in the league.
Hey,
I want
what is
somebody.
The average?
Well, the best guys are right now Adam Jones. I'm looking at people who have had at least 8 to 10 returns. Adam Jones is averaging 16.5 yards per return. Darren Sproles, 15.6. Ted Ginn, 13.5. Devin Hester, 12. Frankie Hammond, 12. Jeremy Ross, 12. Philly Brown, 11.5. Solomon Patton, 11.5. And they all have returns, at least one, of 30-plus yards. So they made a play that has impacted the game. The Browns don't have any returns that have done that. In fact, Jordan Poyer's longest returns, 8 yards. He has 7 returns for 28 yards. For example, Randall Cobb, a guy, a very valuable player on his team, he's got 8 returns for 86 yards already. He's got 2 of 20 or more yards. So there are guys that are making impacts. Darren Sproles right now, your guy from back in San Diego, already has 5 returns of more than 20 yards. So,
and Nathan, this might be something that we just struggle with as a team as well. We don't have guys, or we have that bottom third of the roster, those second string linebackers or fullbacks or backup tight ends, that aren't really good at blocking a guy, down the field to allow a Poyer or Benjamin or Leonard to even get started. Because that's the biggest key in a punt return, is getting started.
Sure.
If you can get started, that means, and you've held up guys, and also, is the efforts of your gunners, because if I'm not mistaken, Hayden and Screen are 2 of our potentially 3 or 4 gunners, correct?
Yep, Nelly's out there, Marlon Moore sometimes.
Yeah, so they're playing defensive series, and I'm not, and again, at this point, I'm not questioning their effort by any means. But
I just don't want them out there because they could get injured on a punt
correct.
Return.
Correct, exactly, which even forces you to, another series, another level of talent on this football team, to essentially block for your returner who you want to average double digits.
Yeah, but I think if you have a guy, the guys that we're talking about are all good returners. They're all kind of special type guys.
Do we have those guys?
I'd like to see. I'd like to see if Taylor Gabriel could do it. I mean, I know Justin Gilbert was that kind of a returner in college.
Okay, I don't want to experiment at this point, because we saw what a guy who is our top punt returner did this Sunday, right? So we're going to experiment with other guys until we find him?
I don't know. I'd like to. I mean, at this point, I don't think we have a solution. I don't think that there's a punt returning solution.
Catching the football and allowing the offense to come on the football field.
I don't want to catch the football. I mean, catching the football is the prerequisite.
Oh, you want to drop it?
Then you want to know. Then you want to return it and gain yards. That, to me, is my goal here.
I hear you.
All right, let's go to Mike in Cleveland. Now, Mike, welcome to the show.
Hi, I've got 2 questions. The first is, isn't this the ideal time to trade Gordon and get what you can for him, which would probably be a 3rd or a 2nd? He's a bomb, and I don't think that I don't know whether or not he's learned from this, but it seems to me you take a chance with him now, and you've lost him forever if he screws up. The second thing is,
let me just respond to that. And hang on, you can keep him on the line, Emmett. Let me respond to that, and then we'll and maybe Matt's got a thought on this too. Where I'm at right now with Josh Gordon is I see him kind of as that golden goose out there that you hope will give you that golden egg, but if it doesn't. That's okay. He's not here now anyway, but I want to see him turn it around, and I want to see him have a lot of success. And if he does ultimately end up having success and realizing his potential, I sure as hell want to be in a Browns uniform, because it would be, I mean, for me, very difficult if you get, let's call it a 3rd round pick for him, or I don't even know that you'd get a 3rd at this point. We'll call it a 3rd round pick. You get a 3rd round pick for him, which, historically speaking, probably has a 45% chance of working out very well for your team. Whereas you have a guy that, if he does get it together, is going to be great. So I just want to see at this point, with everything that's been invested, and it's tough to trust him, and I get it, and I understand if you wanted to send a message. But me personally right now, if Josh Gordon is ever going to be successful in the NFL, I want him to be successful for the Cleveland Browns.
Well, the only thing that bothers me about that is I don't know what the terms of their new agreement is about drug testing or anything like that. But suppose he's great this year and he's great next year. But he's got this past that when he loses again, I'm sure it's going to be if it's not forever, it's going to be very, very lengthy. So you get him for a year and a half, and you do well and all that, but then you're done, where if you got a 3rd round or a 2nd round and they did their homework, they got somebody that will go for 5 or 7 years. I don't get it, because I don't think he's, what he's learned in this whole thing is that if he hangs on long enough, if he gets a good enough lawyers, if they play all the angles, he'll get away with it. And right. I think he's an entitled player.
Okay.
And he just doesn't get it.
All right. And what was your other – okay. All right. Hey, listen, I get that side of it. I understand the logic from it. I mean, Joe Dervish said in here, the guy that we should all be mad at, you know, when we struggle offensively is Josh Gordon. He did something selfish that hurt the team. And, yeah, and he's cost himself a lot of money.
Yeah.
And he's always going to – that'll always be with him. And he's never going to be able to sign contracts with big guarantees. They're always going to have provisions in them.
Right.
If you screw up, you're not getting your bonuses, et cetera.
And that being said, that's exactly – my sentiments were about the money is you talk about the golden goose, and I think the reason why we keep Josh Gordon is because we get that golden goose at a significant discount. Because
– forever.
He's been suspended, you know, thus far. We're not paying him. You know, he's only going to receive a paycheck for six games unless we go to the playoffs. So, again – and I use this term a lot. It's a litmus test. When he comes back, he has to prove to us his value both on and off the field. And as this guy said, too, is why not have Josh Gordon for the next, 22 football games prove his worth to us, prove that he can stay clean, prove that he can provide, you know, his type of performance that we know he's capable of on the football field to see if he's deserving of a conversation about a future. So what's wrong with Josh Gordon not being a part of a bridge to a quality 10-win football team? What's wrong with
that? Nothing's wrong with it. And he's under contract for the remainder of this season and another season. I think that if the Browns, if he does turn it around, you'd like to think that the loyalty the Browns have shown him, the interest that they've shown in him, would certainly make him want to come here and do things right by the Browns as well. So I think there's an opportunity for a very prosperous long-term situation, but it also comes with a tremendous amount of risk. And that's why you would not make a sizable guaranteed investment.
No.
And he can't get that anywhere. Nobody's going to do that for him at all.
And that's why you said someone might not even give a second, and if not even a third for him.
Sure, exactly. Of course not. Of course not. Nick in Pittsburgh, welcome to CBD.
Hey, guys. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
Oh, I'm all right. I was just calling about that one caller earlier who mentioned about the punt game. I agree with you, Nathan, on it. I think we need to find someone who can break open. I think it's either going to be Gilbert to get a shot.
Yeah.
Maybe here at the Oakland game, just give him it, because I feel like the Oakland game should be a must-win game.
Yes.
Or an easy win, hopefully.
Don't say that.
Or even maybe like Taylor Gabriel, because I know he has a lot of speed. He's short. He could probably, you know, do something back there. But those are the only two real guys on the team that I can think of that could probably break out and do something, you know, break away and get a touchdown on a return.
To that point, I completely agree with the fact that, you know, you want to be able to get some value out of the change of possession, meaning a return. I get that. And I would say moving forward, if we were to experiment, so I'm swaying slightly, is that if this Sunday the game got out of reach and Oakland was punting significantly down two touchdowns, I would not be opposed to seeing a Justin Gilbert, a Taylor Gabriel, an Andrew Hawkins, whoever you want to throw back there to experiment with. I'm just not a fan of when the game is on the line and decisions need to be made, we need to secure possession. That is our number one most valued point in that football game, is securing that catch. And with anybody in my mind but Jim Leonard, to the discount of 10 yards of field position, I will take that possession over the opportunity for return.
Oh, we know you will. We're well aware of that, but thank you for clarifying. Let's go to the Bostonian now on CBD. What's
hey,
up, Bostonian?
How you doing?
Good.
Listen, you got to replace that all-pro center, because if you don't replace them, the same thing's going to happen next week. When Paul Brown founded the Cincinnati Bengals, the first player he drafted wasn't a quarterback. It was a center. He said the center was the most important position on a team. Did you know that?
Yes, it's the quarterback of the offensive line. I did know that, as a matter of fact.
All right, but that's who he drafted. Now, I called a shot on that game. I knew Jacksonville had a great defense, and defense stops offense. Am I right?
You are right.
All right, now, Mansell wouldn't have made a difference if he got in the game. It probably would have ended up worse than it was. Do you understand that? Why did he punt the ball when it was 4th and 11 near the end of the game? Because he figures if they don't make it, the other team's going to get the ball and they're going to sit on it instead of trying to score again. Was that the reason?
You're talking about the last possession, why punt it at the end when you were already
down
17-6?
Right. So he figured if he don't make it, he knows they're not going to try and score again, because they could have scored again if they wanted. They sat on the ball at the end of the game. Do you agree?
I mean, I think that's probably why it happened. I think at that point it was just kind of let's get out of here, let's go back home the center is very important. And when you have arguably the best center in the National Football League, when he gets hurt, you're not going to be able to replace him. And I remember watching last night, there was one play where they threw a little dump pass to Le'Veon Bell, and Pouncey took out like three guys, and Bell kind of was very patient with him, allowed him to set up the blocks, was dipping in, out, and basically used Pouncey as one blocker all the way down the field to block three Texans and ended up turning a small play into a big play. And you say, well, Pouncey's a real good center. And I remember last year when he got hurt, it hurt their line. It's going to hurt the Browns' lines. No matter how good Nick McDonald is, he's probably not going to be Alex Mack good. I mean, that's why Alex Mack got paid the way that he did, and he's one of the best players in the league. But if you can get a center who can move in this offense and be smart with the calls like a McDonald hopefully can be, I think it will make things much better than what we saw against Jacksonville. And remember, Jacksonville's front is one of the top fronts in the league too, but I think that there were limitations on the personnel and you end up being weaker at two positions as opposed to maybe ultimately only being weaker at one.
Right, and we'll see that. Hopefully we see that change with Nick McDonald going to center and John Greco going back to his position at guard. Just to speak of Alex Mack, and I brought it up, and it's the one play this season that reigns supreme in my mind. I think it was a Crowell touchdown against the Saints. It might have been a West touchdown, but it was just Alex Mack anchoring that nose tackle who lines up right on his head, you know, anchoring with his left side as he literally pushes him off with a stiff arm and gets up to the second level, which allows
the West touchdown.
Which is the West touchdown, which allows the seam directly for Terrence West to cut back right off of Alex Mack's both of his blocks. And to me, I came in that next day and I'm like, dude, I now know why Alex Mack is a Pro Bowler, because he is so good.
Well, you could appreciate that, because let's say you were playing for the Chargers, the Browns are playing the Chargers, and you're in one of those inside linebacker positions. The whole premise of this offense is to get somebody to the second level on you that's a lineman. So they're either trying to get the backside guard to come across and pick you off, whether it be Betonio if you're running right, or McQuiston if you're running left, or sometimes it's Alex Mack just pushing off and getting to that second level. That's a huge part of this offense. So when you see a guy who can do that as effortlessly as Mack does, you know it's not easy to replace.
No, it's definitely not. And again, we will, and that's why I'm such a big advocate of figuring out who's going to be the replacement or what rotation we're going to have, and have them rep all Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and even through that walkthrough on Saturday, to develop that rapport as best you can to make it feel like it was with Alex Mack, especially for a guy like John Greco who's now going back to his old position, because what they did was so great, what they did was so special, and I don't think we're going to have the type of push that we got against Jacksonville. So we need to regain and reestablish that push that we saw, you know, in the prior five games.
That's what the Browns need to do against the Raiders, who enter this game with the 29th ranked run defense in the NFL, giving up 145.3. Unfortunately, that's better, 10 yards better than the Browns' run defense, currently ranked dead last in the NFL at 155.5.
I did not want to go there.
No. We're going to avoid. Listen, Maurice Jones-Drew, Darren McFadden, come on, not this week. Let's go. Let's go, Browns D. Let's go. Reggie in Youngstown, welcome to CBD.
Hey, fellas, how you doing today?
Good. How are you, Reggie?
Good. Hey, listen, guys, I've been listening all morning and stuff on the first show and stuff. And, you know, I kind of disagree with a couple things that I'm hearing. Some things about Manziel, which you guys know I'm not really a Manziel Packer.
I know that, Reggie, you've been well documented on that. Nobody's saying, and just so you know, that on our show at least, nobody's saying that Johnny should be the quarterback or anything like that. Just, you know, I think that there could be times where you could utilize him in a package to kind of, you know, provide a different look, some a different pressure, a different stress on a defense.
Right. I guess I can go along with that. You know, everybody has their opinion on it, and I respect you guys' opinion. But, you know, the thing that bothers me is that, you know, I'm hearing a lot of so-called Cleveland Brown fans say so much about, well, you know, now that we lost the game, we lost to Jacksonville and stuff, you know, it needs to be changed, this and that. And come on, guys, we all know in general that the offensive line and the defensive line really just didn't play up to their standard. Actually, they played poor. If you had to grade them, I would give them definitely a D. I mean, they just played bad. I think linebackers, defensive backs played as well as they could with the defensive line, not giving pressure. Our offensive line was totally in a situation, you know, to where they couldn't get it done.
Yep.
So I'm just saying that I think, guys, that we should, you know, look at that. And I just get – sometimes it bothers me to hear these guys come on and stuff and saying, well, we need this done and that, and without looking at really what happened. So that's all I got to say, folks. I listen to you guys.
You got it. No, the Browns lost the battle at the point of attack in that game, and that's why the one thing that, you know, we all wanted to fix, that Matt and I said, what's the one thing you want to fix, is the offensive line, getting that back, reestablishing things. I think that Johnny Manziel could put a stress on a defense with his legs right now. That's just an element that's not there in our pass attack with Brian Hoyer there. But Johnny Manziel's not going to come in and all of a sudden start making big passing plays if the Browns can't run the ball. It's just not going to happen because you don't have the receivers to do it. The line was struggling a little bit, and that, I think if we don't run the ball well, it's because the line would struggle again. No, that's not the answer right now. You know, down the road, we can evaluate things as they unfold, et cetera, but the bottom line is Brian Hoyer's done a very good job, had a rough game against Jacksonville, as really did the entire offense. They were kept out of the end zone for the first time all year, and now they need to figure out a way to adjust to that. Somebody took something away that they had done well, and now they need to find a way to adjust and make sure that that isn't what happens again. And I think the Kyle Shanahan company, they will do that. I know Brian Hoyer working very hard, very diligently about this as well, and the Browns are going to be able to turn it around here this week. All right, when we come back, we've said we were going to hand out our grades. It will be grade time here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We'll do the grades and we'll do a little after further review and wrap it up here. Lots of great calls, lots of good insights. We'll give our final answers on everything if you're just joining us in terms of the one thing the Browns must fix. Are three running backs too much? And should Johnny Manziel maybe get a little bit of look, a little run here for the Browns, just not to take over? Again, Brian Hoyer's starter. It's Brian Hoyer's team, but just as a you know, an option. That's what we're talking about there. All right, we'll be back with more CBD and ESPN 850 WKNR. Girl, you got to be right, killing in your Levi's.